Good morning and welcome to worship. Today's the day we let our captains loose on us. From now, it's all yours. But he's disappeared. So, welcome to worship, and I know we're going to have a great time with our captains. And if you haven't spoken to them, then please get an opportunity before you leave this morning. Now, although there is no Sunday school during the school holidays because of the lack of children, where are they? Where's those children? Over here. Excuse me, you three. Right, listen. Right. When you have your children's spot, right, and the captain or his wife tells you a story or makes you do something silly, okay? Oh, you're a captain now, aren't you? Yeah. Up until last week, she was only a lieutenant. No, no. When the captain, Mrs. Captain, tells you a story, then when you're finished, you can go into the lounge where Rosie's going to sort you out. Okay? And to parents, don't forget them after the meeting. Collect them from the lounge. We don't want them. You keep them. Okay. It nearly rained this morning. I got out in the car early and it was spitting rain. I thought I was going to be able to say to you, if the weather holds, we'll have an open air. But no, the Lord's provided. And so we will be holding a short open air on the triangle at about 12:05. Next Sunday, our captain, I'll get it right, the captain will be away, but the boss will be here with us. And she'll be leading our worship next Sunday morning. There'll be no open air next Sunday because at 3:30 in the afternoon, the church is together. Songs of praise will take place here in this hall. The band will be supplying music and they'll be playing from 3:15. So from 3:15 next Sunday afternoon for the songs of praise. And now, over to the boss.
Good morning. And thank you, John, for your great introduction and announcement. Well, let's start this morning by a call to worship. And it's taken from Psalm 66, verses 1 to 4. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praises of your name. And this morning we want to join with God's creation and start by singing our first song, song number 49 in the songbook. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the words, the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, how great thou art. Isn't that such a beautiful thing to start with? Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. So let us stand together and sing. Amen. What a beautiful song to start with. We're going to carry on with the attitude of praise and worship. If you want to sit down, you can. And if you want to stand, you can. But feel free to worship as the Spirit leads you to worship. We're going to sing our next song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. And we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. So let's join together. Morning. That's exactly what we want, isn't it? To see Jesus in this place, lifted high, shining his light of glory and pouring out his power and love on each and every single one of us. But that it doesn't just remain in this place, but that it goes with us wherever we might go through the week, at work, at school, wherever we might find ourselves in our lifetime during the week. That his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, comes and dwells with us and lives with us and takes us with us and help us to do what we need to do during the week. We're going to come into a time of prayer, and to help us to focus unto Jesus in this time of prayer, we're going to sing song number 445. Turn your eyes up on Jesus. Look fully on his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let us focus our attention this morning to him. And let everything that has happened, I don't know what kind of week you all had, I don't know what happened, but God knows it all. And in his presence, let us leave it into his hands and just concentrate on him, turning our focus and our eyes on him, so that everything of this world might just be away, step away from us, so that we can concentrate on worshiping the one we've come to worship and celebrate this morning. Let us sing. now just close our eyes in a silence right now, just turning our face to Him. And whatever is in your mind that's bothering you, just bring it to Him and let Him take control. In this time of silence, just concentrate on Jesus, leaving everything to Him, just for a few minutes, not long. Father God, this morning we come before You. Lord, You know each and every single person that's here. You know the kind of week we all had. You know what's going on in our life. You know our worries, our concern. You know the things that we're grateful for, we're thankful for. And this morning we come and we place it in Your hands. And Lord, we turn to You. We ask that, Lord, You might just take it away from us. Carry it for us. You say, come to Me, those who are burdened, and I will make you light. So Lord, we come before You so that You can take it. Take it, Lord Jesus. And help us to look into You and to stay focused on You. That Your Holy Spirit might guide us in all that we do. And as we spend time together in Your presence right now, Lord, we want to praise Your mighty name. We want to worship You. We want to hear from You, Lord Jesus. So let our ears be ready to receive from You what You have to say to us. Lord, as one family that belongs to You, we want to be able to join together in this way. So Lord, we worship You this morning, we praise You, we lift You up, and we give You all the glory. And Lord, we ask that You might take control of whatever is going to happen in this meeting. Let everything that we do give You praise and worship. The song that we're going to sing, songsters, the band, everything that's going to take place, Lord, let it give You glory, and let us take something from it, that we might learn something new of You. So we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Now, the songsters are going to come and sing, They Need Christ.
Well, thank you, songsters, for that beautiful song. They need Christ, they need me, they need you. The world needs us. Now, children, where are yous? You're going to come forward for a bit. Just a few minutes. I've got something here to show you. Right. You might as well use what you got at home. So what's this? A box, yeah. It's a box. Do you want to see what's inside? Okay.
There's nothing inside.
It's empty. Yeah, it's absolutely empty. I know. You know what's inside? Or you knew what was inside? What was inside?
It meant to be a box.
Yeah, they're meant to be. She was doing some tidying up with her dad yesterday of books. That's why she thinks there were books in there. So, yeah, but what can you use a box for, Matthew?
Storing stuff in.
Brilliant, yeah. Anything else?
You could put some toys in to remove that you don't need anymore.
You know what? That's a very good idea. I hope you're listening. You can put toys that you don't need anymore, can't you? Yes, Martha, listen. Take advice. Yes, you can use this for storage, for putting things that you don't need anymore. So when we were getting ready to come here, Bickford, as you all have guessed wonderfully, gave us lots of boxes so that we could pack our stuff to come here. And we have different kind of boxes. We have the small ones, the bigger ones, all kind of boxes. Do you think I can fit a microwave in this box?
Probably.
What about a TV? No. No? Why not?
Because it isn't wide enough.
Yeah, it isn't wide enough.
Tall enough if you put it like that.
Okay, I guess it depends what kind of... Do you have a big TV? Yeah, it wouldn't fit in here. Mine wouldn't. What about a fridge?
No.
Too small, isn't it? Too small. We need a bigger box for a fridge, don't we? What about, can we put God into a box?
No.
I love that. No. Why can't you put God into a box?
Because he's everywhere.
Because he's everywhere. Absolutely. He's too big to get into a box, isn't he? But you know what? Sometimes we do put God into a box. Don't we? Oh, you know what? That could be a different kind of sermon there. Put God into a box and take him with us. But no, why can't we put God into a box? Sometimes we put God into a box because we think that he can't do what we ask him to do. We think that God is too small to answer our prayers, don't we, sometimes? We think that if we pray to God, well, he only fit into this box, so whatever I ask him to do, he's not going to do it because he's too small. So that's how we limit God, by putting him to a box. For example, if you're praying to be, say, be good to your mom and dad, yeah, that might be your prayer, and you think, yeah, God's not going to help me, that's you saying that God is too small, so you put him into a box. But if you believe, yeah, he's that. So are you going to pray for that, that God help you to be good to your mom and dad? Yeah. There you go. Let us know how we get on with that one. Yeah. Oh, you know, to be good at school, to be good to your brothers and sisters, be a good uncle. Matthew was being uncle this week, wasn't he? I was telling him, it's great to be a young uncle. I've got great, like, a young uncle, and it's cool. So, yeah, it's great. So be good to your mom and dad and grandparents, sisters and brothers. Yeah, and grown-ups as well, we sometimes pray, and we're like, we're praying, but we don't believe in our prayers, do we? But there's no way God's going to answer my prayer, so we put him into a box, and we limit him on what he can do for us, don't we? And we're like, yeah, but we need to believe the God who created this universe, who's so great that we cannot comprehend or understand how big and how just wide it is. He can do what he says he will do. When we pray to him, we need to believe. As long as our prayer is in line with God's will, He will answer us. Now, kids, last week we sang a song about God being a great big God, didn't we? And a lot of us did the action, but I noticed a lot of grown-ups sat down for that song, didn't they? They didn't stand up, did they? They were all sitting down, watching us doing the action. So I think this week, we're going to have to challenge them to do the action standing up. So if you are able to stand with us and join us singing, "Our God is a great big God," and we're going to watch, aren't we? We're going to watch them do the actions. We're going to stand here and do it, but we're going to watch you guys do the actions with us, okay? Let's go. Stand up, if you can. We serve a great big God. Let's not limit him and put him into a box. Okay? Brilliant. The band's going to come and play for us. Thank you.
Back to the band. The Bible reading, we're going to have the Bible reading now. That's taken from John 3, verses 1 to 9.
Morning. This morning's reading comes from John 3, verses 1 to 9. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asks. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you once again, and thanks for the welcome that we received last week. It was warm and it was hospitable when we got food, so what else can we ask for? But it's also been good to get to know some of you during the week, particularly in the office and in the food bank and in a few other occasions as well. Friends together, who could forget that? One of the pleasures, though, of this week, for me anyway, was joining with the band in rehearsal on Wednesday night. That was good fun. Neil got us thinking about Galileo. And I was thinking about my sermon, and I'd written off speaking about astronomy. But astronomy is back. And here is a simple fact, undisputed fact of the world as we know it. The Earth revolves around the sun and not the sun around the Earth. Do we agree? Oh, thank goodness for that. But it wasn't until 1530 that the astronomer Nicolaus Copernicus first observed that planet Earth rotates daily on its axis and revolves yearly around the sun. At the time, this was a deeply controversial observation because the long-held belief was that the Earth was stationary at the center of the universe, with all the planets, moon and sun included, circling around it. Copernicus's new discoveries were so controversial that they were banned by the church in 1616. This is an amazing example of how firmly human beings can hold on to what they know, what they understand, even when the evidence challenges it. At the time of Copernicus, science held that the Earth was the center of the universe. And this view was held to be self-evident, so self-evident that it could not be challenged. Irrespective of this, Copernicus's work went on to form the basis of modern astronomy, and only a few eccentrics would challenge it today. Unfortunately, this lack of imagination, this inflexibility, can be true of our faith too. We can limit God and his action in the world to what we already know and to what we have already experienced. And understandably, perfectly understandably, we struggle to grasp that God is bigger than our knowledge and our understanding. Some of us have been Christians a long time, and with that comes the risk of thinking that we know all there is to know about God and how he operates in the world. Sometimes, though, our knowledge, our experience needs to be challenged. And this challenge might lead to a complete overhaul of what we thought we knew. And this is what happened to Nicodemus when he encountered Jesus that night. So who is Nicodemus? Well, the text tells us that he was a Pharisee and a Jewish leader, a leader of the Jewish people. So as a Pharisee, he was an expert in the strict obedience of the law. Then the description of him as a leader means that he was a man of influence. He was educated, knowledgeable, respected. And from this, he could derive a certain amount of self-confidence. What is Nicodemus's assessment of Jesus? Well, Nicodemus, along with other Pharisees, that's what the text tells us, had recognized that Jesus was doing pretty extraordinary things, and as a result, was attracting a bit of a following. So far, in John's Gospel, Jesus had turned water into wine, a richly symbolic act, and had taken radical steps to cleanse the temple of commerce and return it to its original purpose. Nicodemus recognizes that these things that Jesus had been doing could only come from God. This is what he says. Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him. Though Nicodemus approaches Jesus with the cover of darkness, which might be interpreted as a sign of fear, he nevertheless addresses Jesus quite boldly. He treats Jesus as an equal by calling him rabbi and seems to respect what Jesus has to say. However, he addresses Jesus with a statement, not a question. Nicodemus says, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. There's no doubt or hesitation here, or indeed any sense of inquiry. He has made his assessment of Jesus. He's made his mind up about who he is and why he is doing what he is doing. Nicodemus recognizes that there is something special about Jesus, something out of the ordinary about Jesus, but he sticks to the categories that he knows and the expectations that his expertise in the things of God has led him to have. For Nicodemus, a knowledgeable man of God, Jesus is an exceptional teacher sent from God. Nicodemus, however, is incapable of seeing outside of that box. Nicodemus sees that Jesus is not an ordinary rabbi, but admitting that Jesus is any more than that, anything more than that, is a step too far for him. But more than a rabbi is precisely what Jesus is. The evangelist's account so far, the first two chapters of John's Gospel, is geared towards showing that Jesus is God's Son, who has been sent to inaugurate, to begin a new era in God's interaction with humankind. That's what the miracle at Cana represents. It's not sorting out the catering problems at a wedding. Turning water into wine symbolizes that in Jesus, the era of God's favor, foretold by the prophets, has arrived. So Jesus is offering new life, new birth, a fresh lease of life in the present. Not new life in a distant heavenly future for those who had faithfully followed the law, as Nicodemus would have held, but new life here and now. Fullness of life, as the evangelist puts it a few chapters later in John 10:10. New life. Life to the fullest. Eternal life for whoever places their life, their faith in Jesus. But all this is still too much for Nicodemus. It stretches his expectations, his understanding, his knowledge, his experience too much. Nicodemus, at this point, can't think outside of the box and can't conceive that in Jesus, God is doing new things. I wonder whether we too are prone to limiting our understanding of Jesus to what we already know. Of course, there's nothing wrong with building up a foundation of prior knowledge and experience. But we also need to keep an open mind. God is greater than the limited ability of our brains and of our knowledge. So we must be prepared to revisit, review, reevaluate what we think we know. This is not always easy, of course, and we might at times, and like Nicodemus, ask, how can this be? But it can also be a gift, because it presents us with an opportunity to deepen and expand our knowledge and experience of God. Though Nicodemus was at first left baffled and perplexed by his encounter with Jesus, he nonetheless grasped the opportunity, because this is not Nicodemus's last appearance in John's gospel. His interest in Jesus continues. So in chapter 7, when the debate over Jesus's identity is raging and Jesus is at risk of arrest, it's Nicodemus who stands up to defend him before his peers. In chapter 19, it's Nicodemus who honors Jesus by contributing at lavish expense to Jesus' burial. We too can embrace this opportunity, because there is always more of God to discover and enjoy as we encounter him in our day-to-day lives. There's no such thing as a static Christian. I warned you. I've done it again. Put it on your circle, on your bingo card. There's no such thing as a static Christian. But fortunately, and as I said last week, we are not alone. We can't progress by our own strength. And as the writer of John's Gospel precisely might have said, or does say, we are at an advantage because we have the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. So if ever you feel that your understanding, your knowledge of God has become too constrained, and your relationship with him too static, then why not pray that God would send the wind of the Holy Spirit to birth something new in you. And while you're at it, why not pray that the Holy Spirit would birth something new in his church, in this core? We get so caught up in the methods that have worked in the past that we have become comfortable with, that we are afraid to look out of the box and to see God working ahead of us wherever it is that we are led to go. Just imagine what God could do through us if only we put aside what we think we know and trusted in the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit. We're going to sing shortly. Breathe on me, breath of God. It's a wonderful song that this of prayer, asking for the Holy Spirit's work of regeneration in our lives. God can make all things new. Do you believe it? Are there things in your life that need a little bit of renewal? The Holy Spirit can do it. Are there things in our church that need shaking up and refreshing? That's not to criticize what we're doing, what we have done. But God is ahead of us, doing a new thing. Let's keep up. Holy Spirit, work in my heart. Make something new. Challenge me. Challenge what I think I know. And teach me who you are. Breathe on me, breath of God. Let's make that our prayer this morning. Present you with a challenge, and I'm going to present you with an opportunity to step outside of the box and to respond in this moment. If God is calling you to something new, signify it. The old methods work, but standing up and raising your hand works the same. But mark this moment, mark this renewal and a change of commitment somehow, and let's carry on singing together. Breathe on me, breath.
I'm going to challenge you again. We're singing wonderful words of life. We're singing wonderful words of hope. And this is what I'm seeing. Let's try a smile. Let's try a smile. Because of the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That can be our first testimony to each other. And to others too. Of the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads. Let's clear away the earthly things we've just sang about. And let's focus on the God that we have come here to worship this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit given by your Son. We thank you that that Spirit has been felt in this place this morning. And I pray, Lord, that as we prepare to leave, that we would be aware of the Holy Spirit's presence with us, and that we would be reminded that we would allow that Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to continue working in us. Lord, when we are faced with the limitations of our understanding or our knowledge or our experience, when we are faced with something new, when we are faced with your call to step out of the boat, so to speak, Lord, may we be mindful that you are greater than all of these things, and that your presence is with us, that your love is still lavished upon us. We thank you for the new life that we have in you and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.
And our closing song this morning is song number 279. To God be the glory, great things he has done. We're going to praise him for the great things he has done and praise him for what he's doing and for what he's going to do in our life, in our family, in this school, in this community. So let's stand together as we sing this song.
Thank you.
praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Everyone do that, don't we? We want the people to hear God's voice, and we want to rejoice with them. Amen? And the benediction is taken from well-known words from Ephesians 3, chapter 20. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask for or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. Amen.